You know, I've enjoyed beginning this kind of journey to the idea of who do you want to be? Who are you supposed to be? Who does God obviously want you to be, called you to be? And how do we discover that, you know, within our lives? And it's been an enjoyable process for me so far. And, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing or not for you or for me, but I want you to know that. And as I thought about, you know, a title for today, you know, again, you know, gaining traction, kitty litter for the soul. Maybe it's weather related. I don't know if that's it. But do you remember getting stuck? I don't remember getting stuck in the snow so much as an adult. But when I was a kid, it seems like I can remember pushing everybody out of a snowdrift, including my sister, my mother, my brother, you know, everybody. And I can remember one of the old things was, well, do you have any kitty litter? Do you have any sand? You know, today they talk about if you have your emergency pack, you know, you have it in the trunk of your car, you got a couple pounds of sand there, and that way if you get stuck, you throw that under your wheels, you get that traction, and you get going. And I can remember learning a lesson the hard way on that one, because, and I believe it was up in Holland trying to get somebody out of a snowdrift, and we didn't have any kitty litter, and we didn't have anything, and for some great reason, this college student had in his mind that, you know, if you take maybe anything would work, right? So I found a couple of boards, you know, and so I thought if I take these, and they were like 1x6s, you know, or 1x10s, maybe bigger, about the width, and I put them behind the tire, and then push, you know, that'll give you the traction, get out of the snowbank. It's a great idea, isn't it? What happened? Man, those babies shot out from underneath those tires and just about broke my ankle, you know? And no traction, they just became moving deadly objects. So how do we gain traction in this journey towards becoming the me? Last week we began by talking about that idea of becoming who God intends us to be and how God wants us to flourish. Wants us to be like a tree planted by water, living, again, producing fruit into old age. That we can't get caught up in what others think or what others want us to be or the world wants us to be. But we've got to get in touch with who God has created. But the question now is, how do we begin this journey towards flourishing? How is it that we move forward in this idea of really flourishing and feeling like we're being who God has called us to be? And this morning, what I'd like us to think about is the fact that it begins within. It begins within each of us. That flourishing, that freedom, that joy, all are about connecting with God. About connecting spirit to spirit. About being able to look within ourselves and ask, where is God and how is God filling our soul? Are we filled with ourselves or are we filled with the Spirit of God? And that really makes a difference as far as our ability to begin this journey, to really take off and begin to understand who God is calling us to be. I can kind of recall when I was in high school, maybe early college, I would come up to Holland in the summertime, and as I got to know in-laws, shall I say, soon-to-be in-laws of my brother, not my wife, but my brother, found out that they had a place on Lake Makatawa, and part of that was water skiing. And it was always kind of an adventure, and eventually I got the opportunity to go water skiing, and so we thought it would be wonderful and neat and all that kind of good stuff. And so we went out in one of their boats. I got into the water. They hit it. And the boat couldn't get me out of the water. There I sat kind of dragging in between halfway of the water, halfway out. It was a little boat. And so in the nicest way that I can remember, Wayne, or Nancy's dad, looking at me, he kind of just said, "I think we need a bigger boat." Which isn't something you really want to hear, right? Went back, got the bigger boat, and sure enough, you know, here I go. I get popped out of the water and almost get my arms ripped off in the process. And learn that when you fall, let go of the rope. I didn't know that, all right? But that's where God is at. God wants to be that power. God wants to be that source of energy that pulls us out of the world, that pulls us away from public opinion, that pulls us away from peer pressure, that pulls us away and pulls us clear so that we might rise above and end up on top instead of dragging ourselves through the depths. And so this morning, we will begin with a great passage from the book of John, and it's John chapter 7, verse 37, where it says, "On the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him.' By this he meant the Spirit, whom those believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." In some translations of Scripture, that passage actually says, "out of his belly." Out of his belly will come this living water, streams of living water. You need to understand that only because we really live our lives with our gut as our brain. We're not very different than a lot of reptiles or animals where you know what they're feeling because of whether or not their gut is feeling settled. Our stress, our emotion, our fear, our flourishing comes from within our guts. The Greek word for this inside or these bellies is literally koilea, which is where we get the word colitis from. And the idea, again, that colitis can be stress-related, fear-related, anxiety-related. And that here Jesus says, instead of that, you can have living water flowing from you if you are connected with God. If you have the Spirit dwell within you. If the Spirit of God flows within you and from you. And when we begin this journey of beginning to understand who we are called to be, we need to have the Spirit fill us with that living water so that we might indeed flow forth into our lives. The challenge is that as of today, really, each of us have two personalities. If you are sitting here today, you have two personalities. One which is the way that we exist, the way that we live our lives, the choices that we make, the values that we have, who we are. That's one personality. The other one is who God has called us to be, who we are called to be. And there's a gap between those two. And that's the problem within our lives. That's the challenge, is this gap. The difference between who we are Monday through Saturday and who we try to be maybe on Sunday. And it's the gap between those two that make our stomachs sore and make our bellies ache. if we are not connected fully to the living water, to the Spirit of God within us. You see, when it comes to that gap, we tend to try to fix it. If you can imagine with me, how do you deal with that gap? Well, first of all, we identify something. I need a better devotional life. I need a better prayer life. I need a better service life. Whatever it is. And we try really hard. We try really hard to do it. But over time, we get tired and fatigued. And pretty soon, we've tried hard, we're tired, we don't see the benefits, we don't see things going on, and before you know it, we quit. So we were going to get up at 4 in the morning, and we're going to read our Bible for an hour, then we're going to pray for another hour, then we're going to go to work. Well, about 3 months into that, we're done. And then what follows? Guilt. And our gut, our bellies are filled with guilt. We try to fill that gap with our effort. We try hard, we get tired, we quit, and then we feel guilty, and then we feel sick. But God calls us to a different way. And that is a spirit of grace. That we are called to become who we are called to be by grace. By the Spirit of God living within us. By the Spirit of God flowing into us. By the Spirit of God filling us up. The image of a river, the image of a river being part of the, again, story of God, of Christ, is mentioned over 150 times in Scripture. And this idea of the Spirit of God flowing in and through us is pivotal as we try to become who God is calling us to be. And if we are allowing the Spirit to flow within us, then a few things happen. First, we see that God is life giver. We understand that all things are authored by God. And then once we understand that, we begin to be people who produce the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the list goes on. That if we allow the Spirit to dwell within us, we live in a manner in which there's fruit. So we know God's in charge, we produce that fruit, and again, we exist in the presence of God on a daily basis. That whether it be here at church, or whether it be on the work site, or whether it be in the classroom, or whether it be in our home, we know that the presence of God is there. And because of that, we jump in. We jump into this idea of letting God live within us. We don't think about it, because if we think about it, we get back to that cycle. Oh, I'm going to let God in. Oh, I'm going to let God see this. I'm going to let God do that. And pretty soon we're tired, and then we quit, and then we feel guilty. But God's way is one of grace. That says, Paul, do you understand that I'm the giver of life? Paul, do you live in a manner in which the fruit of the Spirit is being produced? Paul, do you understand that every moment you have breath is one in the presence of God? Paul, are you really, really ready to jump in? You see, God wants us to be people who fill that gap with His grace and a meaningful relationship in which He, God, the Creator, is walking with us in an intimate relationship. I read a little story, and it was about a lady who had gone to the grocery store. And as she was walking up and down the aisle, she saw a father and a young son in the grocery cart, pushing his son up and down the aisles, getting the groceries. And as she got closer, she kind of overheard the father talking to his son. You could hear, you know, Billy, you can do this. Billy, it's okay, just relax. Billy, don't worry about it, you're going to be fine. Billy, we'll be home soon. And she was really impressed with the patience that this father had with her son, his son. And so she went up to him and she said, you know, I just need to tell you that I've been watching and I've been listening and I'm really impressed with the way that you're, again, teaching and coaching your son. And he kind of looked at her funny and said, I don't understand. He said, well, I've been listening to you talk to little Billy here and it's been amazing. And he looked at her and said, ma'am, he said, I'm Billy. God wants to talk to us. God wants to fill that gap by filling us. And so again, how are we at letting go of our efforts and letting God fill our lives? Of growing in grace, all right? Of growing in grace. What does it mean that you know your temperament? You know what things are going to hook you. You know what things are going to pull you away from God or closer to God. You know, and you need to understand it in order to let go of your effort and let God live in you. You need to understand what brings life to you. There are certain things that you feel connected and you feel alive, and you need to live into those things and understand that God's given you that love, God's given you that ability so that you might have life and have it abundantly. What's your learning style? How is it that God is most likely to speak to you? Is it through music? Is it through scripture? Is it through prayer? Is it through teaching? Don't apologize if you don't, well, let's just say, boy, I struggle with reading my Bible every day. But I learn well from videos, so I have gone out and I have gotten this series and this series and this series. You need to understand how is it you learn so that God can fill you up. You need to know what is the season of your life. You need to know what is your signature sin. What is it that is going to be your downfall, your stumbling block? What is it that's going to make it very, very difficult for you to let go and let God fill your life? For many of us men, it's often pride. Because we go back to the circle. I can try hard enough, I won't get tired, I won't quit, and I won't feel bad. And every time we think we can do it, we end up trying hard, getting tired, quitting, and feeling guilty. But what is that sin that separates? I thought it was interesting. I read a little article on the internet this weekend about a new form of pornography in our society. Anybody read about a new form of pornography on the internet? Because I really didn't get it. You know, I saw pornography. I thought, okay, what's going on? Food pornography. I said food pornography. That our world has been so consumed with losing weight, and people are so into eating things healthy and low calorie and all this stuff, that people are now, literally, there's something called food pornography. So they go online and they click and they see pictures of the triple cheeseburger with bacon, triple cheese, and all the fixings and fries. I'm not kidding you. And they stare at it and they get their food fix by looking at images of food that they can no longer have. Food pornography. It's amazing what we come up with, isn't it? But again, what is your signature sin? The challenge of all this, of filling the gap, is this. That we need to, as I've said already, jump in. Or another way of putting it is we need to surrender. We need to be able to say, God, we can't do this. You've got to do it within us. And culturally, we don't do that well. How many stories have you heard about the wars that our nation has fought about people who surrendered? We hear about those who fought to the death. And again, we get into that cycle of hard work, fatigue, quitting, and guilt. And yet God wants us to surrender. God wants us to jump in and let Him fill us. There is a God, and it isn't us, folks. It isn't you. It isn't me. So are you ready to surrender? One of the authors gave this example, and it really struck me. He said, do you remember your newborn? Do you remember that first child, and you get them, and you go to the hospital, you pick them up, and the first thing you do is you make sure you have a good car seat. And you strap them into that car seat, and you tighten it up, and you put the safety strap on it, and you make sure it's there and it's safe. And then 15 years later, you hand the keys of that car to that same child. And you realize you can't tie him in. You can't put him in that car seat anymore. And you hand them the keys and you surrender. And you just ask for God's presence in their life. God's asking for the same thing for each of us, that we would surrender, that we would try softer, to relax more, to surrender more, to allow the Spirit of life to flow within us, to fill our gut, and to bring that flourishing and that joy and that peace. And again, when you say trying softer, people don't like that. I know. I can remember going to Hope College, and again, my first year of football, and telling people the best thing that I ever did in high school was take a ballet class. All these football players looked at me and they laughed. And they said, are you serious? I said, it was the best thing I ever did. It did a great thing for my footwork. It did great things for my flexibility. It did great things for my dating life. But it was softer. It was gentler. I can remember watching and trying yoga. Again, I'm a weightlifter at heart. I'm the guy who jerked around a bunch of weight all the time growing up, and here these people doing yoga. You know, rising dogs, sunrise this, sunrise. Come on. And yet you hear that yoga is one of the best things you can do for your core, for your gut strength. And it's softer. It's gentler. It's surrendering. There was once a discussion between a student and a teacher, and the student said, teacher, how long will it take me to know what you know? And the teacher looked and said, probably 10 years. And the student said, I don't want to wait that long. What if I study twice as hard as everyone else? And the teacher looked at him and said, it will take you 20 years then. Trying softer. Relaxing. Allowing the Spirit of God to dwell within you and fill you so that you might know yourself, your temperament, your learning ability, the season of life, your signature sins, so that the Spirit of God might flow within you. So today is a simple question. Where is the Spirit of God within you? Where is the grace of God within you? Where is the living water within you? Where is that Spirit of peace, of possibility, of power, and of more living within us? Or are we going to default to, well, the pastor said I got to try harder. Ugh, I've been trying so long, I'm tired. Oh, I'm going to quit. Oh, now I feel guilty. It's time to let go and to let God fill us as we become who God has intended us to be. Amen.